And someone else who certainly prefers to be outdoors is Charlotte Philcox again. She says that August is a time to relax and enjoy your garden, particularly when you've caught up with all the jobs. And it's certainly quite a long list of jobs. Here it is from Sarah.
August is the month when some gardens can go a bit off the boil. The roses are well and truly over, and the lushness of May and June is a thing of the past, leaving some of us with dry, uninspiring lawns and flower beds. Many people are going on holiday, often with the aim of looking at others' gardens, while worrying about what their own carefully tended plots will look like on their return. But for any hot weather gardeners who have decided to avoid the summer rush and stay at home, there is still plenty to do. A fairly pleasant and easy task is to deadhead any flowering annuals, as if you leave seed heads to form, the plants will give up producing any more blooms. Annual Cosmos is a case in point, and if deadheaded every few days, will keep producing flowers for many weeks to come. This is one of the best value annuals I know for filling gaps in a border and will provide a long succession of colour. In the vegetable plot, remember to pick runner and French beans every day, and they too will keep producing. You might also consider sowing spinach beet for an autumn harvest and putting in a few rows of the oriental salads, such as mizuna, pak choi, tatsoi and the like, which do best when sown after midsummer. Just don't forget to water them. Tall-growing brassicas, such as kale and purple-sprouting broccoli, will benefit from having some extra soil drawn up around their stems before firming up the surrounding area. You can also put in stakes for support, all of which will help prevent them from rocking about too much during high winds later in the year. Knowing when to prune fruit trees can be a bit of a minefield, but as long as you bear in mind the fact that any freestanding subjects with pips, such as pears and apples, should be pruned in winter, and fruit with stones, such as sweet cherries and plums, after they've finished fruiting, it's not too difficult. Anyone who has gone to the trouble of training fan, cordon or espalier apple and pear trees should also be cutting back side shoots this month to encourage the growth of next year's fruiting spurs. August is a good time to prune rambling roses, and I don't mean the unruly shrubby sort, which do just that and sprawl all over the place. You can leave pruning them until spring. I'm referring to classics such as Rambling Rector, Ethel, she's described as rampant in one of my catalogues, or goldvince, which are all characterised by their long, whippy stems and ability to scramble effortlessly into large trees. Ramblers can grow up to several metres in just one season, and if you're not careful, will take over the garden. It's also a good time to give some floppy perennials the once-over. Forget the Chelsea chop, the Charlotte chop is recommended for vigorous plants which have finished flowering, such as Achillea, the ornamental yarrow, Argaranthemum, the marguerite daisies, Alchemilla mollis, lady's mantle, and Artemisia, and it probably wouldn't hurt to attack any hardy geraniums which are looking a bit tired or succumbing to mildew. You might also want to consider giving a once-over to any lavender plants which have flowered. Do this fairly lightly, just to remove the spent flowers, and remember that the plants will need another trim in the spring to encourage sturdy growth. Santalina or cotton lavender can also be cut back hard now, and unlike true lavender, you can go right into the old wood. It's remarkable how well it will grow back. The issue of when to prune hedges is a contentious one. The wildlife experts recommend leaving well alone between February and August to avoid the disturbance of nesting birds. I certainly follow this advice and am also wary of cutting native hedges until after Christmas. This is because I don't want to remove any fruit which is forming on hawthorns, field roses and the like, which will be vital to the survival of wildlife during the early part of winter. But should any hedge really be getting out of hand, you can safely cut it now, in the knowledge that any resident fledglings will have safely left their nests. If your garden has August gaps, you might want to consider a few new purchases to provide more interest and colour. In the shrub border, blue-flowered Caryopteris ex clandonensis and Perovskia blue spire should be looking good, along with hydrangeas and hardy fuchsias such as Mrs. Popple. On the perennial front, Helenium Moorheim Beauty is one of my favourites with its gorgeous orangey-brown daisy-like flowers. It looks good with grasses, dark-leaved plants such as Heuchera chocolate ruffles, any of the Bishop series of dahlias, or floaty white-flowered Gora Lindheimeri whirling butterflies. Lobelia cardinalis, Queen Victoria or Bees Red can also look stunning this time of year when displayed in groups, although they tend not to be reliably hardy. And don't forget to include mass plantings of long-flowering Rudbeckia, Fulgida, various Sullivanti Goldsturm, with its unpronounceable name, and masses of gorgeous black-eyed golden daisies. It comes into its own as a cut flower too. With all that to be getting on with, whoever said that August was a dull month in the garden?